may think it is or how small anybody else may think it is, we can go to the Lord with anything. I've always believed, listen, I remember hearing kids oftentimes, especially when I was teaching maybe some of the smaller classes, and you'd hear, you know, sometimes little children, they just pray for, I'm talking the small ones, and of course nothing wrong with it at all. I'm not poking fun by no means. As an adult, I do the same about some things. But you just hear them pray these such sweet, innocent prayers, and they just pray what's exactly that's on their heart. And, you know, if it's, you know, Lord, you know, I pray for my cat's foot or, you know, or whatever it is, you know, and you say, preacher, you think that's, I mean, yeah, I pray for the cat's foot. That's what's on your heart, right? The Bible says, cast all you care upon him. And if that's what you care about, then pray for the cat's foot. The cat would probably appreciate it if it knew where you were doing. And so, you know, I just believe the Lord honors those sweet prayers. And no matter what they are, just it's coming from the heart, and you mean it, and that's where it originates from. And you're just speaking to God about it. But I'm just thankful that no matter what it is, whether you're talking about a cat's foot or you're talking about something major and serious that's taking place, so we can bring it to the Lord. Very thankful for that tonight. So thank you for reminding us about that this evening. Let's get in Galatians chapter 5. And as we look into our text here tonight, we'll begin there in verse 22. We left off a couple of weeks ago talking about two aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and that was love and joy. And in a little bit before that, we was talking about, of course, as we were making our way down through here, and talking about walking in the Spirit, we're talking about walking in the flesh and the differences between the two. And we noticed that one of the differences between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit was pretty significant in the fact that in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5, when the Bible talks about the works of the flesh, it used works with a S, but talked about the fruit of the Spirit and all the different things listed there with not fruits but just singular. Also, we noticed that the Bible talks about the works of the flesh. In other words, we talked about how when you work, you are giving something out. You are exasperating yourself, whether it is through labor or hard times, whatever it is that you're doing, you are depleting yourself. When you go to work, you are giving of yourself to something else. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that you are receiving. So in one aspect of it, you are giving out. The other aspect of it from the Lord, we are receiving. And so what we receive from the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, of course, is things that are good, things that are going to benefit us, things that are going to help us, things that are not going to exhaust us, but will refresh us. And there in verse 22, we talked about two of those things, love and joy. And now tonight, we're going to begin there with the next one, which is peace. And so let's read the verse. The Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. And so there in verse 22, we see that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and then, of course, the next one is peace. Now, we look around in the world today, and I think we can definitely see and understand that one of the things that seems like it's definitely missing in society right now is peace. I mean, there's a lot of things that's going around in the world today, whether it's wars or just other different things that's taking place. I mean, you hear about murders and just all different kinds of sins that's taking place all across, not just here in the United States, but all across the world. Christians that are being killed and people of other faiths, whatever they are, murderous, hateful people that are going out doing evil, wicked things. And so we see that there is no peace throughout this world. And of course, that is exactly one of the things that we definitely want. I mean, what is one of the things that I guess, not that I watch it, but I guess when I was a kid, you know, maybe heard something about it or hear people on the radio or television say these things, but whenever the Miss America pageants and all that kind of stuff, they'd get out there and they'd give this speech and they'd say, well, okay, well, one of the things that we're asking for is world peace. or you would have leaders get together, people getting their word, just praying for world peace or whatever it could be. And in thinking about that, one of the things that I think we can see is that, listen, as long as we're relying on someone here politically to make sure that that happens, we're never going to have peace. As long as we are relying on someone who is in their flesh, as long as we're relying on people out here in this world that are not perfect, of course, that's all of us. If we're relying on all of that to bring us peace in a sin-filled world, we're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking in the wrong place. And so what is it and who is it that's going to bring us peace? And of course, we know who that's going to be, and that's the Lord Jesus. And of course, the Lord, He'll come back and He'll settle all that when it needs to be done at that time. And so one of the things that we can see here there in verse 22 is the Bible says one of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, but not only that, but is also peace. Now, peace throughout the world, yes, yes, we desire that, yes, we want that, but also peace we're looking at, I think, on the inside. Peace that's on the inside. Peace that is something that the Bible says it passes all understanding, which is something, of course, that only God can give, right? Now, when we look at that verse in Philippians, we can see that that peace that passes all understanding is a peace that comes from God, and only God gives that. And we can also see here in Galatians that in this text that that is something that we can see is that is something that we can see as when it's given by God, it is considered a fruit of the Spirit. Now, those that are walking in the flesh and living in the flesh, the Bible shows us there in the text in verse 19, the Bible doesn't mention any of those things. The Bible says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. I mean, all these different things, even in verse 21, you see nothing about love, you see nothing about joy, and you definitely don't see nothing about peace. Because listen, when you are living in an environment like the flesh, when you are walking in that and living in that, one of the last things that you're going to have is, of course, love. One of the last things you're going to have is joy. And one of the last things that you're going to have is peace, because what does the Bible say? The way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. And listen, whenever you live like the devil and you walk like the devil and you get away from God, you know what? Listen, life just in general can be tough and hard on its own, right? I mean, just living life in general. I mean, we battle ourselves, we battle the world, we battle the devil every day. I mean, just trying to be a Christian living in this world is tough on its own. But listen, if you want to live like the devil out here too, you're going to have an even harder time. Because the Bible tells us that the way of transgressors is hard. And so we can see there in verse 23, there in verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit, which is something that God gives, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, capital S there, Holy Spirit, is love, joy, and peace. That peace that comes on the inside, that peace that only God can give, that that calmness in the midst of the chaos, so to speak. I often like to refer to, when I think about peace, is I like to refer to that painting that someone painted a long time ago when there was a big storm and the waves were crashing on the rocks and everything was black and the raining was coming down. But off in the little side of the corner, on the right hand of the picture, you see a yellow bird. Just a yellow bird just perched up on the rock, acting like nothing's even going on. Acting like nothing's happening. Just a little yellow bird. You say, well, why is that so significant? Because, you know, I find a lot of that bird in that picture was finding a lot of peace in the midst of the storm that was taking place. That bird wasn't running for cover. The bird wasn't trying to fly away or get away. No, it was just sitting there just as a representation that in the midst of all the darkness and blackness and everything going all around us, that God's people are able to have peace, that calmness in the midst of the chaos. And so that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that only God gives. The Lord Jesus spoke of it in the Gospels. Whenever He says, "My peace I give unto you," not the peace that the world gives, but "My peace I give unto you." So why did the Lord Jesus say, "My peace I give unto you"? Because His peace is far different than anything you can have out here in this world. The world has its own idea of peace. And the Lord Jesus has His idea of peace. And so the Lord Jesus said, "Listen, My peace I give unto you. Come unto Me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And when you have that rest, you have peace. You have that rest, you have peace. Listen, there's a difference between rest and sleep. Do you know that? There's a difference between rest and sleep. Now, you can try to go to sleep and still not get no rest. You can try to go to sleep and still not get no rest. There's a difference between the two. Lord Jesus wasn't in that text, wasn't talking about, listen, if you come to me, then I'll give you a good night's rest. Listen, I think he does sometimes too, but that's not what we're talking about. The idea is that, listen, you come to me and you take my yoke upon you. Listen, I can give you peace. I can give you rest. I can give you what the world cannot give you. And so that's the idea, that tranquility, that peace in our hearts and minds. Listen, let's people look everywhere to try to find peace. People go out here, they pick up the alcohol bottle, and they think they can find the peace in the alcohol. They come out here to the to the world of drugs, and they think, well, you know, the only way that I can escape is to take this pill or to smoke this or snort that or shoot up with this. And there's a lot of people out here today because their lives are so chaotic that they are trying to find the peace that the world gives. And that would be through the alcohol, and that would be through the drugs, and that would be through any other means, any other avenue except through Christ. And so they're looking for any kind of peace that they can find. It doesn't matter where it comes from, as long as they can get themselves in a position to where they're not thinking about this anymore or worrying about this anymore, and they're having a good time. That's all that they care about. Not understanding and really thinking about that there is a payday that comes with that sin that they commit and the life that they live, because the way of transgressors is hard. And the Bible's done showed us here, when we look on back and we talk about the flesh, and we talked about it before, mentioned it here just a little while ago, that the works of the flesh, work is something that you have to give of yourself. It is something you have to labor for, something you have to work for. So you know what? Whenever we're living like the world and we're living like the devil and we're trying to have the peace that the world's trying to give us, you know what? It is work. It is laborsome. It is tiresome. It is wearisome, because that's what work does to us. When we work, we're giving in of ourselves. When we sin, every time when we sin, when we're living like the devil and we're walking out here in the world, we are giving a little bit of ourselves each time. But what does the fruit of the Spirit do? Well, the Bible shows the fruit of the Spirit. Look, God's going to give us something. He's going to give us love. He's going to give us joy. He's going to give us peace. He's going to give us something that will be refreshing to our lives, something that will help us, something that will benefit us. And the Bible says here in the text, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. But there's so many people out here trying to find peace tonight in so many other things. When the Bible shows us right here that joy comes from the Lord, not happiness, but joy. And not only that, but peace. The peace that the Lord Jesus can give us. That peace that passes all understanding. The Bible even tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, the Bible says that that the Lord is not the God of confusion, but the God of what? Peace. He's not the God of confusion, but he is the God of peace. Listen, how many of you have ever been going through life, going through some tough times, and man, you've been praying, man, you've been trying to talk to the Lord about it. You can't come to the right conclusion. You can't figure out what's going on, and you're just kind of confused about everything. Maybe it is the devil's doing everything he can to keep you from finding out what the will of God is. Maybe the devil's doing everything he can to keep your life confused. People seeking the truth. They want to know, what's the truth about this? What's the truth about that? They're looking for answers here, looking for answers there. And the devil's doing everything he can to bring chaos and confusion in their life. And God's saying, listen, that's not what I give. I don't give chaos. I don't give confusion. I give love, joy, and peace. These are the things that I give. But you know what? There's a spiritual battle that we're facing. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about that. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and all these different things. And so listen, there's a spiritual world out here that we are fighting as God's people every single day. And we are fighting against these powers and we are fighting against these principalities that are doing everything they can to take away our peace and doing everything they can to rob us of our joy, doing everything they can to keep confusion in our life. And God says, listen, I'm not the author of confusion, but I'm the author of peace. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And the devil will do everything he can to keep people from having peace. the world itself from having peace, just from killing each other and hurting each other and doing those types of things, but peace in our own hearts and minds. What's the Bible say? Thou would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And listen, the devil can keep your mind from staying on the Lord. He can rob you of your peace. He can send you in a downward spiral into who knows what direction you may go. But the devil will do everything he can to keep your mind off him. Same thing happened to Peter when he walked on the water. He looked around. He took his eyes off the Lord. He took his mind off the Lord. And he began to sink. And the Lord Jesus come there and he saved him. And so we can see a great example of what happens in our life whenever we don't have peace in our hearts and minds. And the Bible shows us there in verse 22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And what's the next one? The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and wow, check out the next one, long-suffering. Long-suffering. The idea of long-suffering, of the idea of being an individual who is able to have patience, or an individual who is able to bear the brunt of an attack without losing your temper. Think about that. Think about the Lord Jesus whenever they was there and they took him and they took him out of the garden, and there he was standing in front of all those people before the high priest and even, of course, before Pilate and all the others. You know, it doesn't seem like we ever seen that the Lord Jesus ever got a temper. Doesn't seem like he ever, he had righteous indignation, of course, we see in the temple. But here when they grabbed the Lord Jesus, he was a man that was able to keep calm in any situation. He was a man that exemplified long-suffering as he was bearing the brunt of all the attacks of the world. And as the sin of the world was being laid upon him, we see a Savior that was exemplifying and demonstrating patience. Because what the Lord Jesus tell him when they come out there to get him? He says, don't you think it right now, this present moment, I can call 12 legions of angels. But as they say, meekness isn't weakness, it's power under control. Meekness isn't walking around with your head held down, just letting everybody walk over top of you. Meekness is knowing that you can do something, but you have a desire to choose to be long-suffering while you're bearing the brunt of the injury. Knowing that you have the power to do something about it, but you're choosing rather to take the high road. You're choosing rather to be long-suffering than let yourself explode and blow up. Sometimes we can get tempers, right? Listen, every single one of us, all of us are subject to blowing a gasket sometimes. Amen, if that's what you want to call it. Anybody ever blew a gasket? Yeah. Now, well, listen, we're human. If you're human, at some point in your life, you've probably blew a gasket. You've probably allowed the anger of a situation or whatever to take the best of you. And listen, we get it, we understand it. I'm not trying to reason it away and to say it's okay. I'm just saying that when we're walking in the Spirit, what we do is we allow the Holy Spirit of God to control our lives. We allow the Holy Spirit of God to control every thought and every action, every movement. Go back to verse 16. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so, how can I exemplify this love and joy and peace and long-suffering in my life? How am I supposed to do that? Well, you're going to have to constantly making sure, doing the best we can, to make sure that we are walking in the Spirit. And it's not always an easy thing to do. It's not. When we think about our own sinful flesh and we think about the circumstances that we go through, we think about we're battling the world, battling the devil, all the different things that happen in our life. Listen, sometimes it's not as... Some days it's a little easier than others. I didn't say it was easy. I just said some days it's a little easier than others, because some days are a little harder than others. But how am I going to exemplify this long suffering in my life? Well, you're not going to be able to do it without the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, so you understand, I'm telling you, listen, we don't pray for patience, right? Because what does the Bible tell us? Tribulation worketh patience. So we're not praying for patience.
and God knows our heart about it. We're not praying for patience, but we are wanting to exemplify the long suffering in our life. We are wanting to say, you know what, Lord, God, I realize and see how patient you have to be with me. Lord, I realize every day I see how the long suffering and the mercy that is renewed every morning in my life. And so, God, when I think about that, when I think about how much of a sinner I am, when I think about the kind of person I am, when I think about how much I fail you every day, Lord, I know that you have to exemplify that long suffering and that mercy renewed every single day. And so as we think about that, we say, okay, Lord, help me to be like you. Help me to be like you. Help me, God, to demonstrate long suffering to others in my life. And listen, and when you're bearing the brunt or taking an attack or whatever it could be, whatever it is that you have to accept, listen, sometimes it's not always somebody coming against you. Sometimes it can just be different things that's happening out here in the world. You know, it could be your car breaking down, or it can be this happening. All these things just tend to happen, and you just, after a while, you're just like, man, you know what? I can't take anymore. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not always just somebody coming after you or saying something or doing something. Listen, sometimes it's just different things in life in general that just happen. And you begin to get tired and you get weary. And then you get to this point where you begin to lose your patience and you don't have the long suffering in different situations as maybe you normally would have. Listen, sometimes we all run a little low. But the Bible does show us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Long-suffering, the ability to be able to be patient with each other, to be able to handle the different situations that come up in our life and take it with dignity and take it with grace and exemplify and demonstrate that mercy that comes along with the long-suffering. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering. Because listen, there's going to be situations that come up in your life. There's going to be things that happen. There's going to be people that you meet throughout your life that you're going to have to learn to exemplify long-suffering. Right? I mean, because listen, not everybody that comes across your path all the time, not everybody that comes your way, is people that are necessarily fun to be around. Is that maybe good to say? Some people are more fun than others, right? Okay, and so in those situations, we say, Lord, I need a special dip of grace and mercy and long-suffering today. But not just that, but just different situations that come up. I mean, you start battling things. I mean, I ain't sitting up here having some pity party tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, I mean, just kind of going back on some things that I've just kind of faced over the last little bit. I had a heat pump that went out. You know, I had a water heater that went out. All this has happened in last couple months. Had a heat pump went out. Had a water heater went out. Then my refrigerator started leaking. And then I had the AC went out on my truck. Had to get that fixed. And then Bryce got in his accident, so you know, taking care of that, and there was a couple of other things in the mix, and all of that. And you keep going, and this is all this happened within like a couple of months, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, I'm about to blow a gasket. But you know, I'm just saying, you just sit here in the midst of all of this difficult situations, and your long suffering gets tried. Long suffering gets tried. And so what do? We say, okay, Lord, I need you to help me to exemplify long-suffering in my life. God, I need you to help me to have this love and this joy and this peace. And Lord, help me to demonstrate long-suffering. God, help me to understand that you are here in the storm. God, help me to see that you are the present help in time of trouble, the one that will never leave me nor forsake me. And Lord, help me to demonstrate long-suffering in the midst of what I'm going through so that I don't act or behave or do or say what I don't need to, right? And so the Bible shows us the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And as we look through all these things, take a look at it. We have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And then the next one that you have there, you have gentleness. What does it mean to be gentle? The idea of just being a kind-hearted person. Demonstrating some kindness. Demonstrating some, of course, your kindness is going to come along with some love. It's going to come along with compassion. Listen, kindness and compassion are coupled together. I don't know if you can separate the two. Compassion is the idea that you see something and then do something about it. You have the desire to do something about it. You don't just see it and do nothing. But compassion is you see something and it impacts your heart, and then it implores you to make an effort to do something about that. And so you take steps to resolve that situation that you had compassion for. So demonstrating that kindness, and that is what we would, I guess you'd call an act of kindness. You know, sometimes an act of kindness is just, you know, you see something. Have you ever seen somebody walking around and they just look like they were just having a rough day? Just having a rough day. Maybe you know them, and who knows, maybe you don't, but you walk up beside them. Hey, if they're your friend, you know them real well, you just walk up beside them and say, hey, you all right? You good? Yeah. Just want you to know I'm here for you if you need anything. You know, sometimes it's just that, just demonstrating that. Sometimes it's just simply doing something without even being asked, just demonstrating that act of kindness without even being asked to do anything. Demonstrating kindness. And so when we do that, what do? We really demonstrate what the Lord Jesus does. We look throughout the Scriptures and the Gospels, and what is one of the things that you see? As the Lord Jesus went out amongst the people, what is one of the things we see he did? He had compassion on the people. He had compassion on the people. The Bible says he walked out to the city, and when he walked out to the city and he began to weep and to cry, and he saw what he understood what was going to happen, he had compassion. When the Lord Jesus looked out and he saw all the people that were hungry and all the people that were sick and all the people that were lost and all the people that needed to be saved, the Bible says he looked out upon the masses and he had compassion on them. He didn't just want to just say, yeah, hey, be nice if I could do something about it. Hey, no, I've got compassion and I am going to do something about it. I am. That gentleness, that kindness that comes along with that compassion. And of course, you inherit that and you get that from the very first thing, which is in verse 22, which is love. Love, because when you love like God does, you have compassion like God does. It's kind of hard to have the kindness of God without having the love of God. And so when you have the kindness of God, you can have the love of God. That means you had the love of God. And so when you put them both together, you have the compassion of God. And you can go out and help people to experience themselves also to have the peace of God and the joy of God. These things only God can give. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness. Being gentle, being kind. Using good words, kind words. What is the Bible? Well, you know, the Bible, we ain't got time to get on all that tonight, but the Bible says a lot just about the words that we use. You know, just the words that we use. How we say things, how we phrase things, how we put it all together, you know. The words that we use, the words that come off our tongue. What does the Bible say in the book of James? That it is an unruly evil. I mean, the world can't even hold it down. I mean, it is something that the hell itself, the devil, it is a sword that goes out and strikes the hearts and minds of people, and it hurts. You know that old saying years ago, they had this... sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know where that came from. I don't know who made it up. But it's not true. They do hurt. They do hurt. Maybe it was someone who was just trying to fight off the idea that they were hurt by someone. You know, I don't know. But gentleness, using gentle words, even kind words. You know, the gentleness goes along with the long-suffering. Because listen, whenever you're when you're exemplifying long suffering in your life, you tend to use more kinder words as well, right? Sometimes when people blow up and they get mad, sometimes they begin to spout things and spew things and to say things and to do things that, well, wouldn't you exactly call walking in the Spirit?
And so you can see how all these things, they encourage each other and they help each other and they're linked together. Listen, when you are exemplifying love, you have joy, you have peace, you are and you're demonstrating long-suffering in your life, what happens is it enables you and helps you and equips you to be able to demonstrate kindness and gentleness to people. Even folks that have done you wrong. Even folks that maybe perhaps have hurt you. You know, sometimes, listen, we're not just talking about the love of the world. We're not just talking about the joy, because the world can't give you joy, just happiness. We're not talking about the peace, but the peace of the world. We're not talking about the long-suffering of the world. We're not talking about the gentleness of the world, but we're talking about something that only God can give. Only God can give. And whenever we demonstrate this in our life, even to folks that haven't been so well to us, it's kind of like, and I'll stop with this. You know, the Lord Jesus, he was talking in the Gospels, and of course he was talking about love, but it's interconnected. And he was talking about how we needed to love our neighbor, and talking about there on the Sermon on the Mount there, and he was talking about loving your enemies, and if you get slapped, to turn the other cheek, right? And if he asks you to go 2 miles, to carry stuff 2 miles, 1 mile, you go twain, right? Instead of going 1 mile, you go two. Go above and beyond, over and what is asked. That is demonstrating love and joy and peace and long suffering and gentleness when the situation doesn't call for it, but yet you exemplify it anyway. When the Bible says to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, you know it's hard to be angry all the time at people when you pray for them all the time. Amen. It really is. You get people in your life, man, they tell you what, they really start messing with your spirit or whatever, or just, you know, whatever it could be, and you start praying for them, then what happens is, I mean, maybe they're just hard people. I mean, maybe you just don't get along very well, whatever it could be. And, man, you start praying for them. You say, okay, Lord, what can I need to do about this? God says, pray for them. Pray for them. And so you start praying for them. And you start praying that God would bless them. You start praying that God would help them. You start, hey, pray for God to help you too. But you just ask God to bless it upon them, God to help them, and God to lift them up. And when you keep doing that, it's hard to be mad at people that you keep asking God to bless, and you keep asking God to love, and you keep asking God to do great things for. And it's hard to be mad at those folks. Eventually you'll find yourself, eventually God will turn their heart around, and you'll have your heart turned around too. You'll be willing to accept them, maybe perhaps even that much more. And so we can see there's so much that is involved in these things. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, being kind. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this night. God, you've been so good to us this evening. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us today to hear from you and your word. And Lord, I pray that tonight that you have helped to encourage us and to equip us to know more about you and your word, to take it and apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, we want to and desire in our life to demonstrate these things. God, we know that without you, it is impossible for us to do this. But we're thankful that with the Lord Jesus, we can do anything. With the power of the Holy Spirit of God, as we walk in the Spirit, the Lord, you enable us and equip us to do these things that we could not previously do before in the world or in our own strength. Lord, you've reminded us that these things that we so look for and long for in our life, that it comes from the Spirit of God. That it doesn't come from our own strength. It doesn't come from something that we can buy out here in the world or anything like that. But Lord, it comes from you. And Lord, we ask tonight that you would just help us, Lord, to be a Christian people that walks in the Spirit. Lord, that we exemplify these things in our life, that it could be that other folks, as they see how we live, as they see how we demonstrate these things in our life, that it could be that if they're lost, that they too may begin to wonder about this love of Jesus that we demonstrate and show. Lord, I pray that you just be with us tonight as we go our separate ways. Sounds like there's a storm out. I pray that you keep everybody safe tonight.
We love you and thank you for all that you do and all that you're going to do. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.